But more importantly, we wanted to kind of do something that we could put our name on, you know, and it would be our brand. And when I say our, my wife, our family.
Yeah.
And we could kind of let that be something that we use as a vehicle for other things.
Sure.
So charitable work, giving back, you know, just bringing people together, community, that kind of stuff.
Today we're talking to a guy named Patrick Isbell. Now, Patrick is a great friend of mine, but Patrick is going to resonate with a bunch of people out there that listen to this podcast. So Patrick has a regular 9-to-5 job, but also owns a retail clothing store that has two locations. So he's not just selling crap out of his, you know, garage. This guy's got two different locations along with a 14 or 15-year-old daughter that plays sports, so two sports in high school, yeah. Two sports in high school, and a son that's a golfer at Sanford. Where he got those genes, I don't know, but we're going to talk to Patrick Isbell today. Patrick, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right.
Appreciate you letting me get here.
So you've got a really good story in the fact that you got a really good 9-to-5. Your wife's got a good 9-to-5. Both make good to upper income, but you own a clothing store. So, like, what made you want to open a clothing store?
Well, it actually goes back, you know, a few years ago. We just kind of started to see some, you know, income was coming up, starting to make good money.
Okay.
We thought about it and we were like, hey, what can we invest in? Let's look for some investment options. And honestly, I credit you a lot of that to you know, some of the things that we've learned and like things that you were doing, kind of, you know, mimicking that. Just, hey, where can we invest?
Yeah.
So we looked at several different things, real estate, stock market, whatever. And I said, hey, why don't we just take a chance and do something, kind of invest in ourselves? And we said,
invest in yourselves, start a business.
Yes, let's start a business. Had no background in starting businesses, no nothing. I've ran a company, a multi-million-dollar company for years, but asked me how to start it, couldn't tell. So we went through that process.
It also takes a lot of energy to start something, Patrick.
Yes. We learned that.
It takes a lot of energy. Like, when I started this, my kids were young.
Yes.
And this sounds awful. Please forgive me if I offend somebody. But when your kids are younger, you got more capacity because they don't need as much of you. Tegan, Georgia, and Jonna need a lot from me right now.
Yeah.
Gavin, your son, and Chloe, the last 2 years needed a lot from you. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine starting something at the stage you were at.
Yeah, it was a challenge. I mean, it took a lot of effort, a lot of intentionality, a lot of discipline with our time. And we basically said, okay, what are we willing to give up?
Okay.
What are we willing to give up? What are we not willing to give up? And Lacey and I discussed that a lot. And, you know, things were trivial things like, hey, going, doing things, you know, extracurricular activities for us. Or watching a ball game or going doing stuff like that kind of became the back burner. Whereas the kids' events, like going to the golf tournaments, going to the volleyball and basketball games, did not take a back seat.
Yeah.
So we made sure we prioritized that really well and then just try to, you know, fit in the business with our work schedules. And, and I'll tell you this, I credit a lot, because people ask all the time, you guys are so busy, how do you do it all? Honestly, I credit to the principle of tithing.
Sure.
And we made it a priority to not just tithe financially, but like our time management, like tithing with your time, your first, you know, we spend the first day going to church and, you know, Sabbath and things like that. And I think it afforded us a lot more margin and time for, honestly think that's attributed a lot to kind of how we've been able to juggle. Because it doesn't feel like we're overwhelmed. It doesn't to me.
I get the same thing. I'm like, I know you're so busy. Well, I mean, I can plan. Yeah. I can plan just about anything.
I don't feel that way. Like, somebody asked me, one of our team members said, you're burning the candle at both ends. I was like, I really don't think that. I enjoy the hustle. I enjoy to get out there and get up at 5 a.m. and run a few things, do a few things for the store, and then head to my office by 7:30.
Yeah.
You know, run by there at the afternoon, things like that. I enjoy doing that.
So
it's been fun.
You and Lacey started making a little bit more money, and when you started making a little more money, you wanted to invest in something, a clothing store. So, like, what, like, so in an age of Amazon and Walmart.com, and you can order anything online, on that phone.
Sure.
Retail is a little bit precarious. Like, yes. Okay, why'd not you do this? Like, so tell me what the thought, like the deductive reasoning of how'd we get to this?
Yeah, not quite the Cody Sanchez model.
No, this is not Cody at all.
She would not approve.
Not approve.
Well, we kind of looked at some stuff, and most people start a business based on what they do, I think.
Like, yep.
What they're good at, like a guy's working for a plumbing company. He's going to start his own plumbing company. Things like that. But we kind of took a different approach, and I think, honestly, it was something that I was interested in doing for a while, just because I like clothes, like dressing well, like talking to people about clothes. The opportunity to do this was so unique that I felt like it was just kind of laid in front of us, and we just kind of developed it. So that's an interesting story in itself.
Go ahead and tell it.
So summer of 22, so it was June, maybe?
Okay, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. We were eating dinner and saw a friend that has a clothing store. And I said, hey, you ever thought about carrying men's clothes? She's like, not really. I said, what if we came in? Because we'd already been discussing the investment thing. I said, what if we came in and just did everything? All you had to do was the day-to-day, like checking people out. Invest a little bit of time learning some of the products, helping a customer here and there, and we'll help out when we can. She was like, okay. So fast forward a couple of months, and that kind of took a back seat because some other things that she had to do. So we said, hey, we're going to go for it. So Lacey and I immediately talked, and we said, hey, let's do it, and let's launch online and start doing it that way. But we found out really quickly that, that was tougher than we thought.
How so?
Because I think getting to people and understanding, hey, this is a new thing, they can go to the manufacturer's website and buy the stuff that we're selling. But they can't come into a store here and try it on and touch and feel it. So that was a challenge. We did start with our local high school, and we kind of did that whole spirit collection kind of thing. That was a big hit, and we sold a lot of that online, but none of the other stuff really worked. So anyway, back to the story. So a couple months later, we were able to make it work by kind of moving into some space that she had available, and it was just such a low, I guess, cost entry kind of thing that it was just kind of made it a no-brainer. And so it was just an easy way into the business.
So you have a lady that already had a clothing store, but it was all women's clothes. You said, hey, what if I take 30% of this store, put our clothes in there, and you just ring them up?
Yeah.
Do you pay her rent or commission?
We just paid her a percentage. Basically.
Percentage of everything you sell?
Yep. And it was pretty much that simple. She had the space. She was willing. It was a great setup because it was basically a separate room. You've been in the
Trustful store.
It's a separate room connected by an opening in the wall. Perfect
so setting. One of the things that I love is marketing. I just like the general thought process of that. And so one of the things I think that you've done a really, really good job of is, so let's just go back. Let's talk about your store for a second. Mm-hmm. So Patrick has a store. It's called 18 South, okay? 18-south.com is the website. But what you do is you take higher-end men's clothes. I say higher-end. They are nicer clothes. They're more expensive clothes. Mm-hmm. Let's name a couple of the brands that you sell, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. So, we sell Grayson.
Grayson, great brand.
Mizzen and Main, which is one of your favorites.
One of my favorites.
Link Sole, Cuts,
yep.
Seven Diamonds.
I have a bunch of Cuts shirts.
We sell some Cricut, G4, a few others.
Okay. So you've got these nicer men's clothing brands that you sell in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've done, and I want you to talk tactically about this.
Okay.
They went into the school system. And probably gave a lot, but obviously branded, took these nicer clothes and branded them to the local high school.
Yes.
So talk to me tactically about what the theory was behind that and how you did that.
Well, that was actually a big part of the vision for the actual physical brick and mortar store.
Okay.
We wanted to have what we've called a spirit collection.
Okay.
So whatever community we're in, for this sake, it's Trustful.
Yep.
And now Homewood.
Yep.
We've partnered with the school. So I went to the school. The athletics director at Hewitt's a good friend of mine. I told him the idea. He loved it. We wanted to come up with a premium collection of products that was branded for the school. So not the the Under Armour, the cheap Nike right. polos that have this stuff all over it. We wanted something that was classy. Yeah. And we wanted to do something that was really elevated and looked nice that guys would want to wear. So you'd wear it to the office, and then you wear it to the game.
Yeah.
And then we did some nice T-shirts that were designed by us. We do all the design, everything, all the creation, the creative part of it. We do the fulfillment and the production. So we have a guy, a local guy, that does it all. So we went to the school and we said, hey, we want to partner with you. We're not doing anything licensing wise, but we want to partner with you and give a percentage back to the athletic department. Our son at the time was playing high school golf. It was just, we needed money all the time.
Sure.
So we were like, this is the way we can kind of reinvest back into the athletics. And then also we get a flip of that where they can kind of promote us. They can't really promote us, but they can kind of on board.
For example, last night, football banquet, Alex Deal, one of the coaches, football coach at the high school, had one of your shirts on. Nice, classy, looks great. Mm-hmm. Lance Walker, athletic director here at Trustful High School, or excuse me, this whole city of Trustful, the whole school system Trustful, he wears a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, when those guys walk up, when somebody walks up and says something about the shirt, that's what they do. They tell, hey, 18 South.
Exactly. And Lance got it.
Yeah.
I mean, he got it right away. He loved it. That's his kind of his flow. He got the shirt. He got shirt number one.
Yep. Nice.
He was on board from the start, and then he would text me and say, hey, we got a new guy coming in. Let's get him a gift. Let's get him a shirt. No problem. Done.
Yeah.
And then we the first year we did really good because we were new to the the market. The second year, all the coaches had our shirts.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get theirs, so they got our shirts. Head football coach is a good friend as well, and he was like, I need shirts. So he came and bought them.
Wow.
So
when you get those shirts, so one of the things I've noticed, when you get those shirts, what is the brand of those shirts that you're putting the Trustful logo on there?
They're our private label. Our brand.
So I got a question I'm going to get back to. So while we're on this, there's an 18 South brand. It's a private label. Is the hopes in the future – to get rid of Roan, Mizzen and Main, all those places, and have just an 18 South brand to build that brand in for yourself?
That's honestly not how we wanted to start it. I think the more, and it's probably pretty natural progression into this world.
Yeah.
Like when you don't know it, you don't know.
Sure.
And it's probably something that we need to reevaluate, and we will. I think that'll probably be some expansion we get into. But at first, 2 years ago, that didn't even cross my mind. I didn't want to have my own brand.
Yeah.
I wanted to promote other brands and bring those together into one under one roof. But I see some value in that now.
What's the best brand to work with so far?
That's a good question. they're all very similar. I've made some good friendships with a couple of them. Grayson's really easy.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, back up a little bit. When we said we're going to start the store, I wanted three brands.
Okay.
I said there was three brands that we had to have or we're not doing it.
Right.
Grayson was number one on my list. It's my favorite brand. It's a great.
Are they primarily golf?
A lot of people assume they're golf, all golf, but they have a lot of lifestyle pieces that are really good, which we focused on in the Homewood store.
Sure.
But we called them. I connected with the guy. I actually got a connection through another guy, another company, and just reached out to him, and it was so simple. Everything was really simple as far as the suppliers. And so they're really easy to work with. Mizzen's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But it's a different world because, like, in my world, my W-2 job, where we got people calling in for quotes and orders, and we've got to order materials. And if we don't get back with people in an hour, you know, we might miss the sale.
Yeah.
These guys might take 2 days
to
get back with you, and you might get your product in 10 days.
Wow.
So that's a little bit different. That's been a big difference for me, but learning that. But so far, so good. I've been kind of surprised how easy it is to work with some of these suppliers.
So Grayson, Mizzen, and Main, what was the third?
I mean, they're all pretty equal. Link Soul's been great. I made a really good friendship with our Link Soul rep.
I remember meeting that guy today.
Harris, Richie, great guy. Local guy, actually. Actually, he lives in Texas now, but he's from here. But, good dude, really easy to work with, so... Yeah, it's actually been pretty pleasantly surprising.
So when you started this investment, was there just a desire to make money? Was that like the end goal of, like, let's start this store to make money?
I mean, ultimately, yes. Again, back to the Cody Sanchez model,
mm-hmm.
probably not the best way to say, hey, we just strictly want to make money.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge to try to figure out kind of where that, you know, money is going to come from
that
as far
point.
As like profit. But we really honestly started out just saying, let's try it and see. We want to be business owners, the kind of the entrepreneur
yeah, sure.
spirit, whatever, what have you. Kind of came out and, you know, we said, let's do something. But more importantly, we wanted to kind of do something that we could put our name on, you yeah. know, and it would be our brand. And when I say our, my wife, our family.
Yeah.
And we could kind of let that be something that we use as a vehicle for other things.
Sure.
So charitable work, giving back, you know, just bringing people together, community, that kind of stuff.
What would be the, like the differentiator between 18 South and any of those stores in Birmingham? Like, why would I come there?
Well, I mean, I think that we've selected and kind of curated a list of brands that, you know, you can't really find all under one roof. That's yeah. another thing is like you've got these stores, these specialty shops or these brands that have their own store, but you can't go to Mizzen & Main store and get a Grayson shirt.
I don't have them. I mean, they do.
And you might not like everything that Mizzen & Main sells.
Yeah.
They've got great dress shirts, but they've got actually some great pants. But mm-hmm. you might not like their sweaters. You might like their T-shirts.
Sure.
So now you can come into our store. You can pick up a Mizzen & Main shirt. You can get a Cuts T-shirt. You can buy a Grayson polo. So now you've got three different types of products that you can buy for three different...
All in the same place.
Yeah, all in the same yeah. place. You got three different kind of activities you're doing. And then also, you know, we try to put an emphasis on our service and what we do. Go above and beyond, like customer service, and just make it very relational.
Yeah.
That's kind of been my background for the last 15 years, just repeat business, repeat sales.
Oh,
so, like,
you
have to have relationships. People buy from who they like. Still.
Is there a brand out there that you don't carry that you want to carry?
Yes, there's
what
a few.
Is it?
There's a few.
What
we've,
are they?
We've, you know, everybody knows, and here's what's funny, because when we started the business, and we said, this is what we're going to do, telling people, oh, you mean like Peter Millar? That was what we always got. Well, yeah, I like Peter Millar, but not that brand, but it's very similar. So we've always, we reached out to them. It's a no-go.
Why?
And it's not just us. It's... You know, they will not. The guy said, "I haven't set up a new customer in 7 years, now 8 years." That's a brand I've always liked.
Sure,
we've just added a couple of new ones that we didn't have from the get go.
Yeah,
that have, you know, we're really excited about. But like, you know, the Peter Millars, the Johnny O's of the world, stuff like that that we can't really get.
Why can't you get those?
It's weird. I think
Peter Millar and Johnny O, listen up. You need to get this get
well,
out there more.
We did our sales pitch, and we actually have friends go to bat for us.
Yeah.
You know, thank goodness for, you know, our good friends Brian and Courtney Fitzsimmons down in
yeah.
Pensacola. They own a store called Don Allen's. And then Christopher Mobley.
Okay. Yeah.
Good friend. Got to know him pretty well.
Mobley and Sons?
Yeah, Mobley and Sons
oh,
down
wow.
in Tuscaloosa. Christopher Mobley on the strip
yeah.
and in Athens. You know, kind of go to bat for us and
yeah.
still can't do it.
Did those companies
yeah,
sell?
Yeah,
they have
both of them.
So what is the situation? Why would they not give it to you? What do they say?
I think it's a little bit more of a like a territory kind of thing.
Sure.
We're very respectful of that. Like
yeah.
we have people in the towns that we're in that we have some crossover. We try to stay away from that best we can, but we're very respectful of people that have the brands that we carry.
Yeah.
But I think it's some crossover stuff where, you know, proximity is an issue.
Yeah.
You don't want one store getting upset when you're setting up a new store. And I get that.
Same clothes 2 miles down the road.
Yeah, I get
yeah.
that. And
sure.
and that's probably most of it. But again, in the case of something like Peter Millard, I mean, do they need anybody? Do they need me? I probably need them more than they need me.
No question. Yeah, I understand.
So I kind of just punted on that. I said, we love the brands that we have. All the brands. There's no reason for me to go out there and get something that somebody that doesn't want to work with us.
Sure.
And we have seen nothing but like great relationships from
you got great,
the brands that we have.
Great brands.
Oh yeah.
What was when you first started, how did you generate business?
Well, you know, I mentioned that we do we started online. Like we cleared out a spare bedroom in our house
mm-hmm.
and put all the inventory there, and we put it online. So started Shopify, a couple days of building the website, we were in business.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the biggest thing that we did that summer of 22, we started in June with a thought. August 1st, we were in business.
Wow.
Yeah, we were in business. And I went to work like just as humbly as I could, just listening, just consuming different things that I could as far as, the retail environment. Because, again, never had a background in that.
Yeah.
And so we just started learning.
Yeah.
And I said, we're going to have to do this the hard way because we're online. We can't direct people.
Yeah.
It's harder to direct people to the website. Anyway, so we started with the Spirit Collection. So we knew that was going to be a big part of it. And we didn't know it was going to be that big. So what we did is we started, when football season started, I told Lacey, I said,
August,
we have to be ready to go for football season if this is going to work. And sure enough, we approached Lance and said, hey, what about setting up at the games, selling our Spirit Collection? That way it gets our name out there to thousands of people. It's at the same time, we can tell them about it and tell the story. And he loved it.
Yeah.
We already given back to them, so it's a partnership.
Why not?
So why not? So we went to the football games. So we set up on Friday nights.
Okay.
We would leave our jobs, pack up all the stuff, go set up a tent, set up all the clothes, sell it, and then tell the story the whole night. This is what we're doing. This is what our vision is.
Yeah.
That was huge. Any online order for the first few weeks, we hand-delivered.
Yeah.
And that's locally in Trustful.
Sure.
We hand-delivered so we could tell the story.
2 years later, what would you do different if you had to do that part over again to generate business?
Well, I would probably – there's not a lot. I think the way we did it was the only way we could have done it at the time,
okay,
simply because we're of our positions and our jobs and our kids, like you mentioned. But I would probably have had a better plan for a brick and mortar from day one.
Mm.
Now, we went from August to November. November 2nd is when we moved into the store. And there were some things that there was some reasoning behind that, but that was we just didn't have any control over.
Yeah,
we wanted to do something August 1st in the building.
In the building,
we couldn't until November. So we would probably have done a better job of getting a physical brick and mortar presence from day one.
You got a good location though. Tell everybody where your location is in Trustful.
Well, we're in the Homestead Village Shopping Center, which is a big shopping center where Panera Bread, where Aldi. We always say we're to the right of Five Below.
Yep.
And just to the right of Five Below. It's been a pretty good location. It's probably a little less desirable for like Trustful. Like we would like to be downtown Trustful, but it's just not in the cards right now.
Yeah, sure. So tell us about your new location. So you got a new location.
Yes.
In Homewood.
Yes, in Homewood, West Homewood, a new development called The Edge.
Okay.
So this past April, one of my great friends, you know him, Oscar. Oscar Padro. Great friend. Introduced me to J.J. Thomas, who owns The Edge. And he took me out there and he was like, bro, this is where you need to be.
Wow.
And so we went out there. It was construction site, and he kind of shared with me the vision of what they wanted to do, and I said, this is really cool because it kind of falls in line with the things that we want to do from a big picture standpoint.
Yeah.
It's a gathering place. It's a multifunctional area. We've got restaurants.
Is it kind of like the Trustful Entertainment District?
Yeah, it's a small, I would say it's a kind of a miniature version of that. There's walk-up restaurants, so like micro restaurants where you can sit outside under a covered patio. And then there's a green space and a stage.
Yeah.
And then a few little businesses. And we're the only retail business there now.
Are you going to want to try to stay open on the Fridays and Saturday nights till 8 or 9 o'clock?
We've talked about that, actually.
Yeah.
And the flexibility that we have is if people are there,
bro,
we're going to be there.
I mean,
we were talking about it for this coming Friday night. Like,
yeah.
Lacey's going to be out of town. Kids are out of town.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to the store and I'm staying open as late as people are there.
Yeah.
What else are we going to do?
Especially since you're new.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep the door open, put a mannequin out front.
So we got the Trustful location for all the people in Birmingham. We got the Trustful location. You got the Homewood location.
Mm-hmm.
What has been the number one thing that's driven revenue over the last 2 years?
Oh, wow. There's a couple of things. The Spirit Collection has been great.
Okay.
That's kept us afloat a lot.
Great.
And kind of kept the your momentum
own brand,
going.
Your own brand.
My own brand, something that, you think about it, like, even though we're just selling men's and Trustful, women are buying our t-shirts.
They are.
You know, they're buying the polos and the quarter zips for their husbands or their dads, the granddads. Yeah. That's kind of driven it because people come in looking for that and they're like, oh, well, I can get this too. But that, and then also, again, big picture, we knew that we had to get outside of the four walls of the store.
Yeah.
And so the B2B stuff has been something that we're really pushing. So corporate branding is what we have. We have a program where you can do, you can come buy three shirts off of our floor and we'll embroider it.
And that's the 18 South brand.
Any brand.
Any brand.
Anything perfect. That's on our floor that you say, hey, I want my logo on it.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Are you still doing online sales?
A little bit.
Okay.
We've actually, all the stuff that we have on the website is some of our older inventory.
Yeah. So it's a lot more cost effective.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, for me, the way we're doing this, it's so much work to put everything online.
A lot of work.
To manage the inventory, to keep it separate, to, you know, pull the inventory when it ships, and it's a lot of work,
yeah.
Ton of work, and we just weren't seeing much of a push. Something we're actually going to kind of revisit.
Sure,
we can talk about that. Kind of my new venture with a good friend of mine too, but something we're going to revisit eventually. But I think right now we're focused on, hey, we got to make this store.
Got to these two stores, yeah.
And then the corporate branding side, that's going to be huge. We're marketing to anybody who needs
any kind of gear,
you know, nice apparel.
How are you outsourcing the branding? Are you doing embroidery and you got a yeah. company that does that for you?
Yeah. We have some, you know, contract labor type yeah. stuff that we can, you know, we have local decorators that'll do it. We actually, all of our brands will embroider. So if we have a larger quantity, say like we just did a 70 polo order for somebody, we just had them produce it.
Can you tell me who?
For
the who did the 70, yeah.
It was for Andrew Sports Medicine.
See, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're a gigantic company.
Sure.
So I think talking about like who's working with you, we work with, we did 70 polos for Andrew Sports Medicine. That's a huge thing.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Everybody recognizes that logo. Dr. Andrews here in Birmingham, yes. He's a worldwide, you know, name, but like having that and recognizing that, that's a pretty
yeah,
big deal.
Yeah, and we've worked hard to kind of make those connections. You know, that's Lacey's world.
Yeah.
And so she's made some connections there, obviously, over the years.
Sure.
And we've just kind of been working that side of it, pushing that out there, telling people about it.
Yeah.
And it works. It's funny. I had a good friend of mine said, he said, I can spend my company's money. And I was like, light bulbs.
Yeah.
Okay. He just placed a, you know, 30 polo order.
Yeah. No, that's it. Talk to me about this. What marketing dollars are you spending?
Zero.
You're not spending anything.
No, we do a little bit. We try to focus on, and in order to do it, we try to make sure we were very, very intentional and careful with how we're spending money for that type of stuff. Like a lot of our cash goes to inventory.
Yeah.
And obviously opening a store, there's cost.
Yeah.
But like what we try to do is we try to do as much free stuff as we can do.
Okay.
And much trade as we can do.
Okay.
Do some trade stuff with, you know, different, you know, advertisers or
yeah.
radio shows. Things like that, but very little. We're learning quickly that we're gonna have to invest a lot of money into getting the name out there a little bit more.
What are your plans? Tell me what you wanted to do.
In the long run,
just in the next 6 months.
Well, we're getting settled. Like I said, we're getting settled into the new location.
Yeah.
We need to kind of determine whether or not Trustful is going to stay there, if we're going to move it long term, if we're going to find a different place to.
In Trustful.
Yeah. Our heart is in Trustful.
Sure. Absolutely. You
it's
live there.
Home. I grew up there, born and raised. My heart's there. I want to be there. We've got to probably find a better location that's more suitable for what we want to do.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, leverage that a little bit. But right now we're just kind of working on getting settled into Homewood and figuring out kind of what the flow is going to look like as far as what people are looking for, what they're going to buy, and then pushing it out to as many people as we can.
All right. I'm going to ask the question again.
Okay.
Where are you spending your where do you want to spend? Like, what's your plan the next 6 months on as far as marketing spend? like besides giving away and stuff like that, what are you wanting to do? What's the plan? Have y'all talked about anything?
Yeah, a little, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm just started working with, I told my buddy, one of my good friends, he does AI marketing.
Yeah.
And he's like, we need to do this. And we met last night. And I was like, bro, what are we waiting on?
Tell me what that plan is, AI marketing. What does that mean?
So it's again, I don't even know.
Yeah.
But like I'm trying to learn it myself. Yeah. And try to figure out kind of where that fits into what we're doing. So I told him, I said, this is my plan. This is right. Immediately we need people to know that we exist.
Yeah.
That's been the biggest challenge. Next, we want to push it out to people like businesses that want our service for, you know, logoed apparel. So he has a program, a company that he's created that does all of that through AI and will generate all these leads and people like the leads that we can follow up on and like vet out.
Right.
So looking at that kind of thing, we kind of take a little bit different approach to it. Social media is big. We're learning that more and more.
It's an ever moving target.
Yeah. And then, you know, paid ads. We're doing some radio. We'll hear us on Jocks a lot. We work with those guys. And that's been a great connection. I mean, that's been a great.
So the stuff that you do on Jocks, if you don't know, Jocks is a gigantic sports talk radio. Is that all trade or is that dollars and trade?
It's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
That's
good.
We're doing a lot for them. And then we're, you know, they're giving us some airtime.
That's great.
In exchange, which has been great. And they're great friends.
Now, you got a 9-to-5. Lacey's got a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. Got a kid playing golf at Sanford. And Chloe, your daughter, who's the youngest, is playing two sports.
Yep.
How are you managing everything that you have going on?
Well, like I said earlier, I think we do a really good job of being disciplined. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, starting a business, now having two locations, doing all those things, it requires you to have some serious discipline.
Yeah.
Like you have to prioritize what matters, and you have no extra time for stuff. Like I don't play golf anymore. People are like, oh, I bet you play golf all the time. No, I don't ever play golf.
You don't have many hobbies.
No, don't have many hobbies. I enjoy, but at the same time, we can, you know, I can go home at, you know, 7 o'clock, 7:30, have family dinner.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about that. I think it's a lot to do with some of our, you know, time management and, you know, the way we've ordered and prioritized our life. But
right.
But yeah, we make it work. Lacey's a huge help. She does a lot. She can run errands. Her schedule is a little bit more flexible.
Yeah.
So she can do a lot, you know, day to day, and it's kind of takes a village. We have great parents that help us, you know, are willing to jump in and do whatever we need, pick up a kid. We have great friends that'll do that too. So there's a lot of moving parts, but we do, we make sure that we are very intentional about where we're spending our time.
Yeah.
And not a lot of, there's not a lot of free time, which
there's
I don't
a lot,
mind.
There's a lot of no's. You got to tell people no's.
A lot of no's, you know, a lot of things. Again, I say extracurricular, like things that we would normally just have time to do, whether it be, you know, go to a concert or, you know, go on a weekend vacation or something like that.
Correct.
We make time for that kind of stuff, but not in abundance.
Does your 9-to-5 boss know about this?
Yes, he does.
What's he say?
So it's funny. He's actually a customer. Very supportive.
That's wonderful.
He always wants discounts, but
yeah, he does.
He jokingly says, "I want the discounts."
I want the boss discounts.
Yeah. So no, we have a great relationship. Been together for 15 years.
Wow.
And he's great. The company I work for, let me just pause and say that.
Yeah.
The company I work for, Piedmont Plastics, it's been a great company to work for. I love what I do. You know, I don't know what the future holds for the clothing business, but I know I have a great career, great, you know, future in what I'm doing now. And I really enjoy managing a sales team, and a fulfillment team for a wonderful company.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's on board.
Okay, so do you take most of your excess of your W-2 job and does it funnel into the business or do you have other investments?
When we started, we took some savings, just some cash, kind of invested, kind of, I guess you'd call it seed money.
Yep.
For the business. And then other than that, besides that, we separated everything. So we separate everything that we make from personal,
right,
our W-2s. It just runs our lives, and we reinvest everything in from the business side back into the business, and it kind of makes it run on its own.
So, but what I'm asking is, like, do any of the excess that you make from W-2, what do you do with your excess? Do you, I mean, like, just use a good round number, you bring in $10,000 a month, you guys live on the $10,000, or like, is there margin there? Do you, what do you do with the excess that you live off of?
We dump it into savings. I'm savings. Yeah. We do a lot of savings.
We talked about this. I talked about it with Lacey. We got to get you involved with IBC and understand that. I know we had revisited about it, but like,
this is the stuff that I need. This is the
for y'all as a business owner, and you're a little bit of above average income. When I say above average income, between the two of you, you do pretty well. You're comfortable. Like, infinite banking is something that you guys got to have, because you just said you put it in savings. Your dollars are not earning anything. Yeah. Even if they're in a high-yield savings account, you're still paying interest on the money it makes in a high-yield savings account. So if it draws 4%, you're really only making about 3%, which is not very good. With IBC, it keeps compounding, and you can use the money whenever you want. Obviously, that's a very elementary version of it, but you guys, between the two businesses, you could fund multiple IBC policies that would just like accelerate. So instead of needing a line of credit, you could use that as your line of credit. Cause I'll give you a great example. I just used part of my IBC money to do something with our business.
Okay.
Did that. So I'm going to, but like what I'll do is I'll pay that money back that I pulled out. We had an expense. I bought that money out from my IBC. Then I'm going to pay the company, MealFit, Table and Time, will pay back Thomas in the IBC account. Mm-hmm. Justin Kraft tells the example all the time of like he saved thousands of dollars when he bought a phone system. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's something, obviously, for a different time we could probably go down, but like there's got to be a place. The biggest thing I think a lot of people, I'm not saying you're making a mistake, but where they go wrong is like they get extra money. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
It's not been a something that we've really focused on as much. It's definitely something we have to look at. We've just recently started looking more at our, kind of finances, even on the business side, like how to do everything, the right way and get everything lined up and, working on like our tax exemptions and things like that for the business. So
the great thing is you're a business owner, so you've gotten a lot more belief.
Yes.
You do have a W-2.
Yeah.
But that makes it a little bit more difficult from a tax standpoint. So speaking about W-2, do you have a desire to quit the W-2 and just run stores or the retail full time?
I mean, I think everybody that's in our situation probably ultimately wants to do that. And we would love to. I mean, the fact that you can make your own schedule or you can do things you want to do without having to kind of be tied. I think that's a little bit of a misnomer, but what'd you say?
You ain't got to ask nobody to do nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then it's just, I guess it's probably something that we've slowly evolved. Like at first I was like, I never intend on quitting my job. We have a great job. And we're not in a situation where. Yeah.
I've heard you say nothing but positive things about your boss, Piedmont Plastic, nothing. I've never heard you complain about it.
It's great. It's just such a great environment. We got a great team. And then Lacey's the same way. She's got a great job. She loves it. Loves working for who she works for. We've got it good. It's not like something we, I heard Sam on here not too long ago saying, I was just miserable in my 9-to-5 job. I mean, we're not that way.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a an urgent sense of urgency to quit a good paying job that I'm really good at.
And that you like.
That I like and that they like me.
But that's the thing. That's the anomaly. That's where you're not going to resonate with people.
Yeah.
Is because you do have a good W-2. You like going to your W-2 every day.
Yeah.
Like that's a little bit odd. And not a lot odd, but it's a little odd that you just love. You like what you do.
Well, I think it gives us some flexibility too with the
totally.
Business. And, this sense of staying the obvious, I mean, it lets us it frees us up to do more things with 18 South that we couldn't do if we were paying the bills out of that business account.
No doubt.
And we joked with Lacey, hey, you should quit your job and just run the store.
Mm.
And she's like, I don't think so. I love what I do. And so she loves what she does. I said, keep doing it. Let's just make it work. And, again, we've had so many – so much help along the way that that's made it possible. But back to your question, I think that we, 2 years ago, it was probably not even a thought. But as you get into it more and more, you realize how much more it takes to run it and make it successful.
Oh yeah,
that it starts to, you start to question it. Like, who knows? I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes.
Yeah.
But at this point, we're able to manage it the way we're doing it. And as long as that's the case, then I think we'll probably keep doing what we're doing. Because, I mean, I still have aspirations to advance in my...
In your own company.
In
Piedmont Plastics.
Inside Piedmont Plastics. Yeah. I actually had a conversation with my boss, and he's like, hey, the CEO was like, do we have to worry about Patrick leaving? And we were like, no.
No, he's good.
He's good, and he'll probably have my job in a few years. So that's kind of one of those things where it's like, that's still on my radar, like advancing in my career there because it's been so great. So,
all right, so I ask this question to different people, and I get a canned answer, okay? I don't want a canned answer.
All right, let's do it.
If you had to do something over again, what would you do differently?
With starting the business?
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it earlier, we would probably have done a lot more work on getting something brick and mortar from the start. I think our scenario was unique. It was just such an easy avenue to do it the way we did it that we just didn't know a lot. And it was just kind of one of those things where we just kind of stumbled into it. But I think we probably should have spent a little bit more time developing a storefront and kind of an identity with who we are. It happened so fast, kind of thing. We knew we were kind of against that deadline with what we wanted to do, which is a great kind of thought, too, because we essentially had 2 years of practice before we opened this Homewood store.
Sure. That brings me to my next question. What are you doing differently in store two that you didn't do in store one?
It's night and day.
Tell me.
Obviously.
Give me some tactical things, like
so
very specifics.
Okay, so We had to hire employees.
Okay.
Like we have payroll and payroll taxes in the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
We didn't have that from the get-go.
Okay.
So we had to basically start a business again, essentially, from a tax standpoint, payroll, all those type of things. Build out. We were able to take a blank canvas and just build it the way we wanted to with somewhat of a budget. I mean, I'm telling you, man, when we moved into the Trustful location, November of 22, it was whatever we could find that would hold a article of clothing that was already in that place.
Mm.
And it was a kind of a ragtag.
Sure.
It looked good.
Yeah, it did.
And we spent a lot of time and effort into making it look good. And with Samantha's help, some of her stuff that she had, we were able to use it.
Right.
And this time we were able to design exactly how we wanted.
Mm.
I had a vision in my mind, kind of what I want it to look like.
That's awesome.
And we were able to do it. And that's been awesome. That's really been fun to see and kind of watch it kind of come to life. And we were there Thursday before the opening. We opened on Friday the 1st. And Thursday night, I was like, you know what? It's real. I told Lacey, it was just me and her standing there. And I was like, it's real. It's like, this is what I saw. I'm standing behind the counter. And this is what I saw when I kind of the vision.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. And that was fun to be able to do that. And again, we had 2 years to kind of practice and kind of get ready for, you know, the full.
Payroll employees, the look and the layout, anything different?
Yeah, I mean that's about it. Everything's kind of transitioned over to like some of the brands. We added a couple of different brands. We added women's in the new store.
Really?
Yeah. Not a lot of people know that.
I don't.
You know, the reason why we never did that in Trustful is because we were connected to a women's clothing store.
Perfect. Yeah,
it just didn't
good.
Make sense.
That's good.
And so we said, if we're moving to Homewood, and this is going to be an all-in step for us, and many conversations with Lacey, it was like, we got to add women's.
Mm.
I think women are going to be more apt to come in. And
well, they'll buy stuff for their husbands.
Yeah. And that's what we've seen most of them. And honestly, for 2 years in a men's clothing store, I would probably say 50%, maybe even more, our shoppers are women.
Wow. What is the number one thing you spend time on in the business?
Inventory management.
Okay.
Mostly learning, like figuring out what we need to order, what we're low on, replenishing also the financial side, like making sure the bills are paid. That's the two main things.
You're more tactical than you are facing client facing than anything. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I would think so. We work as much as we can. People want to see us, and I want to be there. I get excited when I get to go in there and work.
Oh yeah.
I love being in there, but again, I'm a 7:30 to 4:30 in the office every day.
Right.
And so,
and you got kids.
We have kids, and we close at 5 or 6 o'clock, and
yeah.
I'm headed home to take care of the family or do a few things there, here and sure. there. But weekends, we're there a good bit.
Mm.
Nights, evenings, kind of things when yeah. we have events. But yeah, inventory management it takes up a lot of your time.
Have you made any profit where you've actually paid yourself?
Yes and no. Again, we've turned and reinvested everything back into the company. And again, our W-2 jobs give us that flexibility. But I think I learned from you, you know, what was it? Was it you that was saying the, you know, pay yourself first kind of thing? We looked at, we just started taking a small percentage and just sticking it back
sure.
as kind of a way to pay ourselves and kind of hold it kind of like a little nest egg kind of thing.
And I think you need that because, like, the whole profit first method that we use
yeah, yeah.
where you silo the money out, every dollar that comes in has got a place,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it be to pay people or, you know, our paycheck or whatever, everything's got to have a place
yep.
so that you don't end up getting screwed down the road when it comes to taxes or whatever, especially as you get bigger, you got to have those place, things got to have a place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're in the Christmas season. Where can someone find 18 South?
All right, so if you're in Homewood, we're in the Edge, the new Edge development right there in West Homewood.
Okay.
It's 819 Green Springs Highway.
Oh, yeah, easy.
It's easy to find. It's a great place to come hang out, bring your kids. You can have dinner, lunch, dinner. You can shop with us, and we got specials coming all
And you've all got men's long. And women's clothes
men's
at the Homestead.
Men's and women, okay. absolutely. And then Trustful, we're at the Homestead Village Shopping Center next to Five Below. Everybody knows where that is.
Perfect. All right, so if you're in Birmingham at all, Homewood, Trustful, Hoover, anywhere, go to 18 South, men's and women's clothes in the Homewood location. Wonderful brands for your husband, so that's great. All right, when we finish up, is there any one thing besides the retail location that you would do any different in all of this whole thing, anything that you would do different?
I don't think so. Again, I mean, we've learned so much from the last 2 years of just kind of stepping yeah. into it. Again, it's not something that we felt like was going to just, you know, make us rich. We're not going to get rich doing this, but, you know, we wanted to try something and see if we could make our vision work.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more things we want to do and we want to try to accelerate that process maybe where we talked about the corporate branding and, you know, different things like that, the things that we can do, charitable. And, like, we're also working on some things where we can kind of create a whole creative package and branding identities and things like that. That's kind of a side deal. It's kind of been birthed out of this whole thing. And so we can do creative and fulfillment, production, everything. We've done a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So if you have an event coming up, you know, you need shirts or you need – your executive team needs polos or – you know, we need a logo created. We can do all that.
Right.
And that's been a really cool little aspect of kind of just the whole journey of saying, yes, we can do that.
Sure.
So,
all right. So if you're in Birmingham or if you're even outside of Birmingham and you need something like that, something corporate, 18 South's a great place to go. Wonderful brands that look absolutely wonderful. I wear a lot of what we got here.
Before we go, I brought Perfect. You a gift. I couldn't come empty handed. You're a
awesome.
Great friend. I appreciate awesome. You having
Man,
me
so glad.
On the show. It's I figured once you got to the
it's great smelling soap. My wife is going to absolutely love this. And a wonderful, I've not seen this yet, so this is great. Ooh, that looks good. I like the feel of the shirt. 18
Yeah. That's nice, great. Simple.
You can never have too many black shirts, so this is great.
Thank well, again, I so appreciate much. You letting oh, me so come bad. On. I figured you got to the end of the real business owners, so you gave me a call.
I got a list of people that are wanting to Whoa. Come on here, so it's good.
That's awesome.
All right, so if you want to visit them online, they're at 18 South Homewood, HWD.
Yep.
Do that again. On Instagram, at 18_SouthHWD.
Spell out Homewood. And it smell out 18.
Yeah. And then also 18_SouthTVL. That's the Trustful store or the Homewood store on Instagram.
Yep.
Or you can go to 18-south.com. Find these guys. Patrick, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, my friend.
All right.